There's a new book out called First Aid for Your Ministry. It's published by Randall House, and we're going to talk with its author, Dr. Eddie Moody, who has experience as a pastor and also professional counselor. And he talks about something, a phenomenon called clergy killers. And so, among other things, we'll be talking about pastoral burnout. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Dr. Eddie Moody, it's good to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, it's good to be with you. Thank you, Dr. Newcomb.
Sure. So what do you mean when you refer to clergy killers?
Well, I'm going back to some research by a researcher named Redinger, who looked at a lot of people in particular churches that really would seek to disrupt the church, would seek to have their own agenda, if you will. And so often pastors go into those churches. They're trying to reach the community, and basically it seems like everything they do gets knocked down or everything they do gets criticized. These individuals are not as rare as we would hope, but what they tend to do is make it quite difficult, especially in some of the smaller churches and sometimes more rural churches in the United States especially. And so in the book, we talk about how to identify when you're dealing with someone like that. It could be someone that the scripture talks about, like they think about evil all the time. It could also be someone that's actually mentally ill, and just other folks within the congregation do not recognize it. And so we talk about, you know, as a pastor, you're coming in, you're trying to work with folks and trying to love everyone, but it's important to, if you are dealing with that, to confront it and deal with it, because the tendency is for many pastors just to look for greener grass elsewhere, to move on. And then that leaves that person in that church, and if they stay there, they'll kill it. They'll continue to just run off person after person. And in the book, we give the example of Hezekiah, where he let the Babylonians come in and look at all the things that he had. And Isaiah said, look, because you've done this, there's going to be trouble later for your children or those that come after you. And so we say sometimes as a pastor, you're dealing with some of these individuals that thrive on creating conflict and difficulty, and it may be difficult in your time, but it'll be better for the next person. And on the other hand, some pastors just try to get along and not really deal with that, and it becomes more difficult. The church tends to go down in attendance, and the next pastor finds their situation far more difficult. So there are pastors that would be difficult, and sometimes people have experienced that. But there's also sometimes people within a church that try to dominate it or dictate what happens there. And we want our pastors and other folks within the church to be aware of that and protect their pastors and protect their churches to do what they can to reach their community.
Was there some incident in your own life that caused you to think, you know, somebody ought to write a book about this? I think I'll do it.
Yeah. Well, I used to get, and still do really, get calls all the time from pastors, but especially like on Monday mornings. And all through my ministry, so I pastored for over 19 years, and now I work with pastors throughout the United States. I've dealt with pastors. Sometimes myself, when I was coming along, I thought, this is crazy. How can this be happening? And I found help dealing with pastors who had pastored for a longer period and often older pastors. And what made me write the book was many pastors deal with the same kinds of things, whether they live in Cuba or the United States or be pastoring somewhere in Europe. You're dealing with the same kinds of problems. And then you start to notice it when you read the scriptures. Moses seems to always be dealing with complaining. Elijah seems to be quite disappointed when Ahab doesn't turn to the Lord after the fire comes down from heaven and they have the rain. John the Baptist seems disillusioned when nothing appears to happen to Herod and he's in the dungeon of a prison. So you see it in the scriptures throughout. And you also see, as you work with pastors, that all of us will struggle with this to some extent. We'll have some sort of difficulty. So the reason for the book was a pastor's a bit like a fighter pilot. They're very valuable to the work of the Lord. And so we're trying to help those pastors, and also we're trying to help other ministry leaders and to gather around their pastors, and just like we do everything we can to rescue a special forces operator or someone that's a fighter pilot, we want to do that for our pastors, because we need all of them to be as effective as they can be in the Lord's ministry.
Is there a high turnover of some sort among pastors?
Oh, absolutely. There's a high turnover, and there's also a problem with people going into the pastorate. And I will say, you will see this in really all of the service occupations. You'll see it with law enforcement. You'll see it to an extent with the military, and you see it especially with teachers. But we also see it with pastors. And so, like in my dealings today, I tend to work with churches throughout the United States, and I'll look at the state of North Carolina, for example, and they need 8 pastors. And then I look over at Missouri, and they need 12 pastors. And you also look at the demographics of folks that are in the pastorate, and the majority would be over the age of 50. And so as you look at most of the pastors, and then most of the people training for ministry in many of our seminaries and Christian colleges, you don't have the pastors to replace the retiring pastors and to hold on to the churches that we have today. So that's one of the emphasis of the book, is to say, look, you are really important. A church without a pastor, especially a lead pastor, is in a very difficult space. So hang in there. The tendency is for people that will stay at a church is to find success, if you will. In other words, as you look at people, they tend to be more effective as they begin to deal with the congregation, and the congregation gets to know them. They tend to protect their pastor as well. And so we're trying to stress to pastors to stay in the ministry, and to our churches to do what you can to support them and help them, because we desperately need them, especially in the United States, because we do have such a shortage.
Huh. I've never considered that idea, that there is a shortage of pastors in the country. There's a shortage of pastors. There's a help wanted pastors.
Yeah.
But of course, not everybody should just go take the job. They need to be called.
They do. They need to be called. But you do wonder about that a little bit. So you look at the requirements there that Paul tells us what a pastor is supposed to be and do. And you then look at the number of churches, and it's like, well, then in the 50s and the 40s, were there just more people experiencing the call? I do think that many people are really, you hate to say it, but just not listening to the Lord. I think they see some of the things that happen to pastors, just like what you see happening with teachers today, and they're like, well, I don't feel the call. You know, I don't feel that. So I do think we as a church need to ask people, look at the requirements that Paul talks about. Look at how, you know, husband of one wife, look at the skill set that the Lord says you're to be able to teach and so forth. Do you meet the spiritual qualifications? Do you meet the teaching qualifications? And it may be that we may have made it too mystical, like people expect a Damascus Road experience. I think all of us need to think about how the Lord wants to use us in the ministry, maybe not as a pastor, but doing some good, solid work in our churches, ministering to the communities where we find ourselves. And who knows where we would be if we really did answer that service call from the Lord.
Are there
really
certain
like a Romans 12:1-2 kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, to rededicate yourself to the Lord, yourself,
and like,
get back on the altar.
You'll do whatever He's called you to do. You know, you keep going through that chapter, and He talks about the different spiritual gifts, and He talks about taking or making a sober assessment, not looking at oneself more highly than he ought. And so, I think if we really did that, I think there are more people that the Lord would call. But I also think we would see a more active laity, which makes our churches so much stronger.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Are there some key things that cause pastoral burnout? And maybe to turn it around in a positive way, are there certain recommendations you would have to prevent pastoral burnout? Let's take it the second way first. I mean,
well,
just,
the things
actually, you'll answer the first question by answering the second question. Sorry.
There you go. It sounds counterintuitive, but stay in the Word. So the tendency is, you know, we're doing lessons, we're doing sermons. You know, don't just read the Bible for sermons. Let that be your relationship with the Lord. And it is true, we find from the research, when pastors have that personal time with the Lord, we have hospital visits, we have all these things, it just has a tendency to reduce the likelihood of us getting burned out. Talking to the Lord, you know, praying to Him, not letting anything get in the way of our time praying to the Lord and hearing from Him in the Word. And we see that the Lord was always doing that. He found a way to get away and speak with the Father, and if He's doing that, we certainly need to do that. And then just being close with your family. All husbands are called to love their wives like Christ loved the church. And when we, as pastors, are especially doing that, we find better relationships with our wife, better relationships with our children, and it really does help us to be able to do the ministry and not get so bogged down by it. And what tends to hurt pastors in the ministry is sometimes they feel lonely, like no one really understands what they're going through. That's why prayer is so important, and their relationship with their wife and their children. And they just get disappointed by people. People say they're going to do something and they don't follow through. People attack them, and even after they've invested their lives in them. And that's hard. But again, when you're reading in the scripture about Jeremiah saying, like, cursed be the day on which I was born, you say, well, that must have been a Monday morning, and he went through it too. And then you read about him getting thrown into the cistern and getting actually beat, and you're like, well, maybe my situation or my day was not that bad after all. So as we read the scripture, we kind of put things in perspective, and then as we look at the Lord continuously telling us to be sober, in other words, take a serious look at your situation and ask yourself, you know, how much when something goes wrong, how much of that was my fault, and then what can I do to correct it? What can I do to do things differently in the future? Just really being in the Word, having close relationships with our family, and one last one is having a mentor, someone you can talk to that's been where you're at, and they're presently where you want to be. In other words, they're in a ministry like where you would want to go, so you can learn something from them. And for older pastors who say, well, I can't find someone to mentor me, and that might be an example like Elijah, well, there's an Elisha out there somewhere. Find him, work with him, and it'll help you as much as it helps him.
Okay, we have 1 minute left to go. I'll go ahead and give your website, firstaidforemotionalhurts.com. The name of your book, again, is First Aid for Your Ministry by Dr. Eddie Moody. So in our concluding minute, do pastors deal with discouragement sometimes? You've kind of hinted at it, but I think of Spurgeon, even Spurgeon, the great Spurgeon, sometimes would get depressed, which is like, I don't get it.
Oh, man. Well, getting let down, things not going as one would expect them to go, and then we live in a church, well, high expectations for churches. It seems like every church is a mega church with all these multiple sites, and so when you don't see the ministry as you expected it to be, oh, it can be discouraging. And the best example is John the Baptist, a guy who says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then toward the end of his life, he's saying, are you the coming one, or do we seek another? That's a guy who thought his ministry was going to be one way, and it ended up being something else. And so sometimes people envision, I'm going to have all these services and all these people to speak to, and it's not that way immediately, and it can be discouraging. And so anything worthwhile, there's going to be difficulty doing it, and we have to be able to overcome that discouragement, and we can through the Lord.
All right, Dr. Eddie Moody, thank you so much for being with us. God bless you.
Thank you, brother.